Pleasure to be here with you today and talk about measles. Almost 45 years to the day since the licensure of first measles vaccines in the United States in 1963. The continuing efforts to eliminate measles in this country led to the building of many of the components of our current national immunization efforts. While measles had exacted a major health burden in the U.S., this impact is dwarfed by the terrible health burden of measles, especially in the developing world, even today. I'd like to thank Peter Strebel of WHO for many of the slides that we'll use today, as well as Jane Seward and Bill Bellini for their constructive criticism, and Amy Parker for providing some of the information I will discuss. As recently as 2000, despite the availability of measles vaccine since 1963, measles was the fourth leading cause of death in children worldwide, at that time accounting for roughly 777,000 deaths. Marked progress has been made. In 1980, more than 2.5 million children died annually from measles, and in 2006, we reached a record low of 242,000 deaths. This still accounts or amounts to more than 650 children per day dying of this preventable disease, and doesn't account for all of the other substantial morbidity associated with this viral infection. There are a number of challenges with regard to trying to improve our prevention of measles. This is a table put together by Paul Fine for the fifth edition of Vaccines, and it shows two things. Basic reproductive number, or R0 or R0, and crude herd immunity threshold. And to give you an idea of what R0 is, this is from mathematical modeling. And in essence, it's the number of secondary cases that would occur in the average introduction of one infectious case into a 100% susceptible population. So, for example, when you have smallpox with an R0 of 5, you're talking about the average case could give rise to 5 of those cases. If the immunity level is 80%, then 4 of those 5 will be immune. The chain will not go through them, and the average case would give rise to 1 case, and you'd have continued level transmission. As you get above 80%, then the average case gives rise to less than 1 case and transmission dies out. And what you can see here is perhaps measles and pertussis are the two with the highest R0s and the highest herd immunity thresholds. And the way to calculate it is R0 minus 1 over R0. And so you need to achieve very high levels of immunity if you want transmission to die out. Another challenge is measles vaccine effectiveness. At 15 months and beyond, and particularly in vaccinated populations at 12 months and beyond, you can get very high effectiveness, 95 to 98%. But if you remember those herd immunity thresholds, and those were industrialized countries, you still need a hell of a lot of the population vaccinated, even with this, in order to achieve those levels. In the developing world, vaccination is recommended generally at 9 months of age because of concerns about measles in young kids, and there, on average, seroconversion has only been 85%. So a number of areas recommend some sort of two-opportunity or two-dose schedule. I'll get into that in a moment. And data show that, in general, with these primary vaccine failures, the second dose is 90% or better in causing seroconversion of those who failed to seroconvert, suggesting these are primarily primary vaccine failures. Now, this is a complicated slide, and I'll try and walk you through it. If you do what is the general developing world recommendation of one dose at 9 months of age with an effectiveness of 85%, then given these varying coverage rates, these are the immunity levels you would achieve, well below the levels that are considered necessary to interrupt transmission. If you gave a single dose at 15 months of age, what you do is you markedly reduce vaccine failure so that the gap between coverage and immunity is fairly small. If you gave everybody a second dose after 12 months of age, assuming an effectiveness of 95%, what you do is you, in essence, eliminate vaccine failure for all intents and purposes. But you still have a major gap in susceptibility by people you haven't reached before. So your big problem is failure to vaccinate with a traditional two-dose schedule. But if you use a two-opportunity schedule, whereas you try and deliver the second dose, in a sense, independently of the first, such as in mass campaigns with publicity and bringing vaccine to places you hadn't brought it before, and if you assume for this rough calculation that the probability of getting a first dose is independent of a probability of getting a second dose, then you can really close that immunity gap fairly quickly. And you can see here, you can get, even with 80% on each opportunity, get close to at least the industrialized world herd immunity threshold. And this second opportunity strategy is the major one used in the developing world. And these are data from Laurel Wolfson, published in Lancet last year, just showing what has happened. In 1980, more than 2.5 million deaths. You can see here the difference here is the single dose versus the second opportunity, and it's resulted in an estimated marked drop in deaths. In fact, the global target of 60% reduction by 2005 compared to 1999 levels. There are countries around the world, therefore, that have been looking at potential interruption of transmission. The Americas set a goal for 2000, and that appears to have been reached. Four of the WHO regions have goals to eliminate measles. And then two of the major regions, the Southeast Asia region of the World Health Organization and the African region, have not set elimination goals, but they've set mortality reduction goals. And I'll go over that in a minute. I'll go over that now. And the goal right now is, in these areas, to get a 90% reduction in deaths by 2010 compared to 2000 levels. In 1999, when the first effort to reduce measles mortality began, WHO identified 47 countries that accounted for 94% of all measles deaths. None of them at that time had a second opportunity. It was all a one-dose schedule. In contrast, in 2008, almost all of Africa has either nationwide, or in substantial geographic areas, a two-opportunity schedule. Much of Southeast Asia does. The major exception is in the Indian subcontinent. And this shows you the reduction in deaths as a result of this two-opportunity strategy. But where are those reductions coming? And as you might expect, in the African region, they already reduced by more than 90% the number of deaths seen in 2000. Now, I caution you, you need to be very careful about these are estimates. They're based on coverage. This is not case-based reporting. And what happens today doesn't mean what will happen tomorrow. One needs to continue to maintain high levels of coverage. But the big problem area is in the Southeast Asian region, where they are far below the 2010 goal. And this is just another way of looking at it. What you could see here is clearly each dot here represents 500 deaths. And you could see that clearly India is the major issue, and this is a country that has not yet implemented a two-dose or two-opportunity strategy. Now, this has implications for the United States. In 2000, it was declared that measles was no longer an endemic disease in the United States. Between 2002 and 2007, about 50 cases a year are reported. And in essence, what I used to say, and I still say, is in some cases, the best defense is a good offense, because these are cases that are coming from primarily developed countries in India that are being imported into the United States. This includes Indiana, which came from Romania. We've recently had an outbreak in San Diego that came from Switzerland. And the Indiana outbreak alone is estimated to have cost $167,000 in efforts to control it. So even though the numbers of cases are small, all of the efforts one goes through to try and prevent reestablishment of endemic transmission are costly. Now, there are some selected challenges to achieving better control or elimination of measles. One is measles is not perceived as a serious disease in a number of industrialized countries. That was no different than us. When I was an EIS officer in the mid-1970s, measles was perceived as a rite of passage that people did not understand the consequences. And even in outbreaks, such as in Los Angeles in 1977, with kids being hospitalized and dying, it took the health officer, Shirley Fannin, or the head of communicable disease control at the time, to throw 50,000 kids out of school before people took it seriously. Now we take it seriously. Many other countries in the world haven't. We've had scares about safety of measles vaccines, and most prevalent have been the links of MMR and autism in the UK and other countries. We've lacked political will and resources in some large endemic countries. And part of the problem on the two-opportunity strategy is, while we've had a lot of experience with polio campaigns, we haven't had that much experience with injectable vaccine campaigns. But as you saw with those 47 countries, that may be a little bogus. We've done a lot of injectable campaigns in many countries, and they are doable. So can measles be eradicated? And when you first look at it, there are three biologic criteria. Humans are essential for maintaining transmission. That is correct. While non-human primates can be infected, their numbers are not large enough to sustain transmission. Can you tell who has measles or not? There are diagnostic tests available. You can do case-based surveillance. And do we have an effective intervention? While we don't get 100% immunity with every dose and we don't get spread of vaccine virus, we do have an effective intervention. And many people, including myself, look for a fourth criterion, demonstration of the feasibility of interruption of transmission in large geographic areas. And I think we have it in the US and we have it in the Americas, that yes, indeed, this can be done. So from a biologic perspective, I think it's eradicatable. And these are slides provided me from Peter Strebel, just showing you that we do have a global laboratory network. Many of these labs can do measles. You can see here measles and polio and a variety of other things. Only a few of these labs do polio only, which are the starred labs. So we do have a major laboratory network. And from an epidemiologic perspective, we still have genotypes of measles so that we can trace epidemiologically where strains come from. So we have the tools, I think, available. So what do I see are the steps in the future? One is I don't see eradication in the near future. I think the global focus will be on mortality reduction. I think four of the six regions do have elimination goals, but we'll need to reevaluate considering the experience with polio and regional mortality reduction. And my hope is in my lifetime that, in fact, we can move to an eradication goal, but not in my, it depends how long I live, I guess. Not in the immediate future, but I think a goal worth pursuing. Thank you.